Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined by my good buddy, Dan, as always. Hey, Dan.
How you doing this week, Doug?
I'm hanging in there. I'm a little excited. We got an extra seat at the bar here. We got our buddy John Peters from down in Florida. He's going to do a trip report with us this week. How you doing, John?
Great. How you guys?
We're well, John. We're not as warm as you, but we're pretty warm up here.
It stays pretty warm down here, so.
Yeah, and you're like, an hour outside of Disney?
Yeah,
Disney?
Right at 55, 60 minutes.
Okay. So we're going to kick around a little bit of news, and then we'll talk John's report. So what do you got for us this week, Dan?
There's a whole bunch of news, some of it minor, some of it major. But the Haunted Mansion is going to be closing from December 1st through the 19th, reopening on the 20th. That was a new piece of news that come out this week. A little bit more about the Yankee Trader Haunted Mansion gift shop that's going to be changed, I guess. That's going to now be closed to December 31st, so it sounds like they're going to do an extensive refurb of the Yankee Trader shop that currently exists there. So I guess that's a good thing. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it right.
Well, that's Disney for you. I'm glad I'm headed down before it's closing, because my wife would be very depressed if the Haunted Mansion was closed when we went down. So,
yeah.
Is that one of your favorites, John?
Yeah, actually, that's my wife and I's both favorite ride, and I'm a little disappointed to hear that the gift shop's not going to be open in October. We're going down for the Food and Wine Festival October 19th, and I was looking forward to getting into that new gift shop, but it doesn't sound like we'll be able to.
And you're going to be there on the 19th, too, aren't you, Dan?
When am I going to be there? No, I'm going early October, so no.
Okay.
I won't be there for the 19th. Nope.
Well, that's...
Yeah, for some reason, that was in my head. Maybe that was because of my trip. It's been switched so many times, so, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the other things that they mentioned as part of the gift shop, they're going to have one of those ride photo opportunities. So now somewhere on the attraction, they're going to snap a photo. And for, you know, $19.95 or whatever, you'll be able to get that souvenir to bring home with you and your family on a Doom buggy. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're really pushing the My Magic for Disney sales for the package deal, trying to get the camera, the photo package sold. So I think they're trying to add more rides, so more people want to do the photo package. If you follow me.
Yeah, because those are included in the package, right? All the ride photos that they take.
Yeah, they do the $199 before you. I mean, if you get there, it's $199 for all the photos. But if you pre-order it, it's $149. And I think they're trying to add more rides to make it more, enticing for people to buy the package.
Got you. So. Moving right along here, the Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It street party will be restricted to evenings only on select days in August. It's the 12th, 13th, 19th, 20th, and 29th. It'll be offered at 5:40 and 7 p.m., and this is due to some concrete work on Main Street USA, and I guess this is tied into that whole, refurb they're doing in front of the Magic Kingdom, widening it out. And
all the moats being redone there.
Exactly. So I got to believe this is part of that. So if you enjoy that parade, you might want to look and see which dates it's being offered and make sure you're there in the evening to see that parade.
Yeah, I'm pretty sad about all my little feathered friends having to relocate.
The ducks.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. You know how many years they've been living happily down there in them moats?
They'll relocate.
Could you imagine you came home one day and nobody even warned you and your house was just tore down?
Yeah, they can go over to the Animal Kingdom. There's plenty of waterways over there.
Yeah, I'm sure those ducks aren't going to invite them right in with open arms.
That's true.
Moving into the neighborhood.
Territorial, right?
Yes.
Another just a snippet here. Magic Kingdom First Aid Station will be relocated, I should say, over to the Tomorrowland from August 10th through the 19th. Then it'll be moving back to its original location. So, again, this probably has something to do with all that construction going on around the hub.
Well, they're probably just re-sprucing up the offices there because they're a little bit off there, unless there's work being done over there that is blocking people, maybe the traffic, the foot traffic into the medical facility. There's also changing areas back there, too. So if you have, you know, newborns or whatever, you should also look into that. Or if anybody's booking a trip for you, ask your agent to see if their changing areas have changed. Because if you walk back in that area where you go back to the first aid stations to your right, you bear off to the left, and there's all kind of – there's like an area there for mothers to go in and feed and take care of their children. So that might be closed down too.
Yeah, I would think so. But that is a very popular place for all the reasons you just mentioned. And, you know, they have first aid, and they can give you Band-Aids. And I think if you have a headache, they can give you an aspirin, all kinds of stuff. And I've always heard nothing but good things about that whole facility.
Yeah, my wife had she got some kind of allergy to her eyes, and they actually treated her back there. So we stayed on the way down, not at Disney, but the hotel on the way down, which was very nice. And it was a suite, a family suite, and we stayed there. And for some reason, something in the pillows, we don't know if it was the fabric softener or the cleaner, the detergent, but something irritated her eyes really bad. And we got there, and we went to the first aid station. And they really helped her out. And I tell people all the time, if you're wearing – if you get a blister or something like that, why go all the way back to the hotel room and treat yourself and waste all that time? Go there. They'll take care of you. It don't cost anything.
Right, right. A lot of people don't even know that's there, but good tip.
Yeah, and if you go into the general store to buy Band-Aids, gauze, or alcohol or something to treat it, Neosporin or whatever, it's going to cost you $20 just to buy the stuff.
That's for sure.
You know what that store, the general store, costs.
Yep.
So just go to Disney First Aid. They'll give you all that stuff for free. They'll even give you little sample packets to take back to the room with you.
And they'll give you a little Mickey sticker, too, to put on your shirt.
I stole that from my wife. I still got it. I didn't use it yet. Have you ever been around that first aid station, John?
I'll tell you a story real quick. My wife became dehydrated at Hollywood Studios a couple of years ago. It wasn't at the Magic Kingdom, but she became dehydrated and we took her – actually, one of the cast members grabbed a wheelchair, wheeled her back there, had her sit down in the first aid station and gave her plenty of water. And actually, to tell you the truth, it was a lot more than dehydration. She ended up having to be rushed over to Celebration Hospital and stuff. And basically the first aid station ended up saving her life. Became a lot more serious than just dehydration. So.
Wow.
Yeah. And people don't realize the people that are in these aren't like just normal cast members. There's registered nurses and stuff like that actually work there. I think a lot of them, from what I read, some of them will volunteer their time for passes and stuff like that. They work part time.
Go ahead, Dennis.
No, I was just going to say they're probably EMTs, I would think, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah,
yes.
The lady that was in the Hollywood Studios one, she was a registered nurse, and she saw that Lisa was having a lot more trouble than was normal, and thankfully got over to the hospital really quick. So,
yeah, they're important. And we did a show quite a few back, and actually we should touch on it again in the next few weeks of where they all are in all the parks, because they're above average. They're qualified people that can help you with anything. So if you're feeling, go there. If you're feeling sick or queasy or have something wrong with you, don't be afraid to go over there because they can really help. They're really good people in all them stations.
Absolutely.
So, sorry to stand on the soapbox. Go ahead.
Moving right along here, the Be Our Guest lunch standby line has had a change to it. I guess if you don't have a Fast Pass Plus for lunch, you'll now be given a timed ticket similar to the old Fast Passes, the paper Fast Passes, for a time to come back. And I don't know if that's got to do with the amount of people that are hanging out on the bridge there or what have you, but you're going to have a ticket with a stamped time. And if you don't have one, you're shut out and you just won't be able to even wait standby to get in to be our guest.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I don't get what the – the craziness is waiting to eat there. I mean, is the food that good? I mean,
John, have you eaten there yet?
Actually, when we on our last trip, we got there about 10:15, and we walked around, took some pictures and stuff because I hadn't even been in there before. But no, nothing on the menu is like over appealing to us. So no, I haven't. And to tell you the truth, I don't want to wait an hour to eat lunch.
Yeah,
I hear that.
That's what I'm saying. How much better is it than anywhere else? I mean, for a counter service restaurant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll take Columbia Harbor House any day, so it's fine.
That makes I think that makes three of us.
That does make three of us. I actually have eaten there for we were there for dinner, but I think I mentioned on the podcast when we did my trip report, it did not blow me away. The food was, in my view, just average. I guess the obvious draw is if you have small children that are into Beauty and the Beast and they want to get a picture with the Beast and all that stuff, that's the draw. But, you know, the dining rooms, you know, they were beautiful, no doubt about it. But, you know, I would never wait an hour in line or, you know, I don't see what the big buzz is. I think as the years go by here that'll gradually wane and it'll be just like any place else, and you won't have that long a wait to get in.
Well, me and my wife lived that Beauty and the Beast story, so it don't appeal that much to us. So.
Let's see here. The Frozen Summer Fun Premium Package is available on weekends during the extended period. As you know, they did extend the offerings at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So that's going to be September 5th through the 28th. So if you're going during those dates and you want to take advantage of this, there are packages available. The same goes for the Frozen Summer Fun package, I guess, at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and that's going to run till September 28th, too. The only exception is the Frozen Fireworks will only be available on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're not going to give the full offering every time they have the Frozen Summer Fun stuff that's going on. But I guess that's good for people that want to get a chance to see that are going later in the summer into early fall.
Yeah, we all seen that coming, that extension.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if they don't extend it longer than that, or at least bring it back seasonally, maybe next spring/summer, bring it all back. But who knows?
Oh, I could see Frozen and wine coming soon.
Yeah. Frozen margaritas, right?
Yeah, buddy.
Coming up, characters from Big Hero 6, Hiro and Baymax, will be available for character meet and greets. That's going to happen sometime this fall. There's no set date, but that's the big Disney's next movie release, and it'll be out in theaters on November 7th, so I would think they would start somewhat in advance of that, of having these characters available for pictures and all that good stuff.
I'm going to have my autograph book out next month.
This one, Doug, this may bum you out, but the It's Tough to Be a Bug refurb has been extended through the fall, 6 weeks longer than originally posted. It's now not going to reopen till September 27th.
That's a week after I get back.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I'm not happy about that, man.
Well,
I'm going to not get to see my stink bug.
Yeah, well, maybe they're making a better stink bug, but maybe, the reason they're doing it longer, maybe they're really going to enhance something or put in some new audio animatronics or who knows what, but they are going to extend it into the end of September.
They probably got into it and realized it's going to be longer than what it was. You know how that is.
Right.
You like that ride, John?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I haven't seen it in actually several years, but I know that the Hopper animatronic is really, really cool. So.
Yeah, with me, I see it every year we're down there. It's just my stupid humor. I love that show. I just love seeing that show.
Yeah, Hopper is pretty amazing. I thought I read somewhere that's one of the most advanced audio automatronic. Easy for me to say.
Animatronic.
That they have at Disney. I mean, if you think about it, all the different arms that are moving, and he's pretty pretty ferocious.
He's cool. He's my hero, the way he yells at the yells at everybody.
Right, right. I don't know if you guys have seen this, been online or whatever, but the TTA People Mover opened up with a new color scheme. I hope.
I'm looking at the pictures right in front of me. I was going to say that if you didn't.
Hope you guys like orange.
It looks nice. It reminds you a little. It should be at Epcot now. With the new color scheme over there.
Have you seen the pictures, John?
No, I haven't. The People Mover is now orange.
Oh.
Well, it's brownish orange. There's a bunch of different. It's orange, blue, but green. There's a bunch of colors in there, but they did add a lot of orange to it.
Really? I'm going to have to go take a look at that. That's like you guys, that's usually one of the rides that we have to hit 3 or 4 times in a trip to the Magic Kingdom. So.
From what I can gather, they didn't change the ride vehicles at all, but like the escalator that goes up, the sides of the escalator are all orange. The little robot, the stationary robot that's at the bottom, he has some orange on him now. From what I've heard, though, they're not done. I think they're still going to do some more painting along the track and stuff like that. So I don't know if you'll see more orange as it goes, but they just did kind of like the queue, if you will, the escalator in that area. But I think it looks pretty good myself.
Yeah, they added that. I think they had a few thousand gallons of Epcot paint left over, so they decided to do a little bit of the People Mover in it.
Right, right. It's definitely brighter than it was, so, you know, hey, I'll give it a look when I get down there, and you can as well, Doug, when you get down there in a couple of weeks.
34 days.
Not that you're counting.
Yeah.
34 days, Mo. And I'll be on that multiple times at night. The very first Saturday night, the Magic Kingdom's open till 1 a.m. My butt will be planted on that People Mover at 12:45 to finish off the night.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have for news. There's a lot going on, but, you know, it's a busy time of year down there at Disney, and fall's coming, so there's always a lot to talk about. But that's going to do it for this week for news.
Works for me, Dan. So we're going to talk a little bit to our buddy John, one of our favorite listeners. I could say he's not our only, thank goodness.
There's one other guy, I think.
Yeah, well, that used to be you. I used to have 2 listeners. Now I only have 1. We have John now, Dan.
Oh, all right.
But, he went down in late May or early June, so he wants to do a little bit of a trip report for us. So, first of all, John, you checked in at the Boardwalk?
Yeah, we checked in the Boardwalk, stayed there for 5 nights, Sunday night through Thursday night, Sunday night through Thursday night. Saturday night through Thursday night. And it was quite a trip.
Is that your first time ever at the Boardwalk, or have you been there before?
No, we're actually DVC members and actually own it at Saratoga Springs, just like Dennis there. And when we go, I always make our reservations at Saratoga Springs, of course, at the 11-month mark, but then I try to as soon as 7 months come along, I try to transfer to either Boardwalk or Animal Kingdom Lodge because we really enjoy both of those resorts. So,
are they 2 of your favorite vacation club? They're your 2 favorite vacation club resorts?
Yeah, I would say so. We haven't stayed at Bay Lake Tower yet. I stayed at Beach Club, and to tell you the truth, Beach Club was a little too hoity-toity for me. So I like the Boardwalk, and Animal Kingdom Lodge is just gorgeous. So.
You're a beer and a pretzel kind of guy, and they're wine and cheese over there,
yeah,
and you're pretty
more beer much, pretzel. Yeah, you got it. So,
not that I'm hating on the wine and cheese crowd, but myself, I fall more into the pretzel and beer crowd myself.
Oh, John, I got to agree with you. I prefer to stay at the Boardwalk over the Beach Club myself, and I've stayed at both several times. You know, scary clown pool and all, I still would go with the Boardwalk.
That makes 3 of us. But, yeah, that could scare some young kids, that pool, man.
I'm not a fan of clowns at all. I didn't know. I read Stephen King's It when I was a small child. And that clown's creepy. But I get over it for that nice walk right over to Epcot. So.
Well, my favorite, John, is actually the walk to the studios. You know that listening to the show. I love walking to the studios from Boardwalk. Have you ever done that?
To tell you the truth, I think every time we go over there, we take the boat. Now, I haven't done the walk because usually when we're staying there, it's the summer, and it's, you know, already the sun's getting out already, and heat is hitting you already. So, but, we like the boat to go over to the Hollywood Studios, but I think next time we get to stay for Fantasmic, I think we'll be strolling back maybe alongside the river there, so.
That's what me and Brent usually do. It's awesome. If you get a chance, do that one time, and we're not afraid of the summer. We've been down there many times in August, September, so the heat ain't that bad at night. You can deal with it. You're a Floridian. Me and Dennis are from New Jersey and Boston, and we like that walk back.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So what did you do the first few nights there? What was your first thing that you did?
Well, living here in Florida, we usually get the seasonal passes. You can save a couple hundred bucks. So we can't go in the summertime, but getting the seasonal passes enables us to actually get passes to both Disney and Universal. So headed over to Universal the first Saturday morning, rode a couple of rides there, and then checked in.
Hold your ears, Dan. Dan, you want to step away for this part of the show, or are you going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll make it.
Well, bring your trash bag up next to your trash can in case you get a little sick.
I have a 15-year-old son who maybe likes, you know, roller coasters just a little bit. So, you know, it's kind of I have to blend in a little bit to make him, you know, go with us on the trip. So, but actually I rode Hulk that morning, and Hulk is a lot like rocking roller coaster. You know, you get on it and you're supposed to put your neck back and hold it firmly in place, and I didn't. And so I wrenched my neck, and so for the whole trip, I had horrible neck pain bothering me the entire time. So, you know,
it's a way to kick it off. That's why my wife refuses to let me on Tower of Terror anymore, because of my lower back. She said, "You go on that one day, idiot, and it'll ruin your whole week. You're 47. Get over yourself."
Well, I would through the trip, I would just get over it, and then I'd ride Expedition Everest and hurt it again, and then, you know, but I dealt with it. So, but we went over there, rode a couple of rides, and then we checked in at Boardwalk, and we headed over to Hollywood Studios, Star Wars weekend. I know you guys aren't too big into Star Wars, but definitely one of my favorite series of all times, and the wife's and my son's now. And but the crowd was just unbelievable.
Well, you know that we're not haters. We don't judge if people don't that love it.
I got
you. For some reason, me and Dennis have never, and we've said it, and you've heard it a million times, we've seen every movie. We like the series, but it isn't. We enjoy you guys that love that, so we can go get on the other stuff.
There you go. And actually, I think based on the crowd that was there this time, that may be where we're falling in, because as much as I like Star Wars, I'm not going to wait an hour to get into Darth Maul to go shopping, you know, and that's what the line was, just to get into the little shopping mall they had there for Star Wars weekend. It's just not worth it sitting that kind of line when I can go somewhere else and have a much better time. So,
and the other thing is you've seen what it's been like in the past, and it's getting out of hand. It's crazy now.
It sure is. It every year is more. And I think, you know, as time goes on, it's just going to get more crowded and more crowded. So,
well, that's until they have a whole Star Wars land somewhere, which is rumored to be coming. I remember years ago when we went, before I even realized that they had a Star Wars weekend, one day we just went to the Hollywood Studios, and there was this line of people outside the gates of Hollywood. We must have got there for rope drop or whatever, and I couldn't figure it out. And then, you know, I started seeing people walking by with, you know, lightsabers and had these cloaks on, and it took us a while to, you know, for it all to click in, but I couldn't believe the line of people that were not at the key, you know, not at the turnstiles to get in, but they were way over on the left. I don't know if they were in a queue for autographs for later on or whatever, but it just seemed like mayhem, and people walking around with all those heavy costumes on, if you will, in the middle of the summer or whenever it was we were there. I thought it was pretty funny myself.
Yeah, me and Brenda, we had the same thing, Dan. We seen the stormtroopers roaming around over there. That's what freaked us out, because they're usually not around, you know, year-round. You know what I mean? All the extra characters and stuff with the people.
Right.
And we realized what was going on. And now, we were happy because we could go on everything else while everybody was over there. I think the other thing that's made it a lot worse is now it's better for you guys, but now that Disney owns everything, they can put more memorabilia and more stuff in the park that more people are coming to try to get now.
Yeah.
Because they can cross it into more of their characters. There's no approval from Lucas to do something now, if you follow me. Disney can do whatever they want now.
Yeah, they sure can. So.
So what happened next?
Well, we finished that day with our annual dinner at Cape May. I know Dennis there is up in Massachusetts and quite the seafood connoisseur. I don't know. I was interested to see what he thinks of Cape May.
Yeah, we've eaten there, I think, twice over the years, and it wasn't bad. I mean, they had the king crab legs, and they had some seafood offerings that were they were very good, I must say. And I liked the whole buffet style there, so I would definitely go there again. I mean, I wouldn't compare it to seafood up here, but for Florida seafood, if you will, it was pretty decent.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job on the crab legs, and that's usually what we're there for, is to just really hit the crab legs. And we enjoy it every year, so that's usually how we kick off our trip, is dinner at Cape May. So.
Yeah, well, they had it there for a while too, because I enjoy the restaurant. It's one of the few buffets that we would consider going to, if you follow me, because me and her is not big buffet people, but Disney buffets we enjoy. And but the thing is, they did stop the crab legs on the menu there for a while. Remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, there was a while there where there were certain days during the week they didn't have the crab legs, and everybody was going nuts.
Yeah,
they
that's
didn't
pretty
change
much what we
price.
Go for. So.
Yes, well, that's what happened. They didn't. They changed out the menu a little bit. Didn't have the crab legs on it. They a couple nights during the week they wouldn't have them, and it was the same price. And they realized everybody comes here for the crab.
Right. I'm sure they got a lot of negative feedback on that one, right?
Yeah. Oh, big time. It was all over the place. I was reading it. I couldn't believe it myself, because that's one of the few places that in Fulton's is really only they're the only two places you can really go get crab legs on a consistent basis.
Right.
Nowhere else really sell. Do you know anywhere else that sells just crab legs on property?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, I think it's them only. They're the only two. Anything else on the menu, John, that you really like? What are some other things that you really like on that menu
at the
buffet?
The desserts are always pretty tasty. They used to have a key lime tart, but this time they had a little Boston cream pie that was really good. I like the clams, you know, but they're basically a lot of the other stuff is just like you would find in a decent seafood restaurant. And the clams are tasty. There's I think it was a salmon dish that they had out, and that was pretty good. And, you know, everything else is good, but it's really what the crab legs are what we're really there for. So,
absolutely. That's what mostly, you know, I remember my wife, we first started dating, that she would laugh at me for getting them because they were so messy and hard to work with. And now I taught her how to crack them. Oh, my God. We have a competition every time we eat to see who can get the bigger pieces of meat out of the crab legs. Like, I taught her how to do it. Now, we have so much fun going and getting crabs, because I'll get them here all the time and throw them on the grill. And we'll just crack crabs. I'll have a beer, show off some wine. And we have so much fun. It's just stupid, just laughing at each other, cracking crabs, comparing the size of the meat that comes out. Or when you ever crack that one where there's nothing in it?
Oh, yeah.
It's so disappointing.
Yep.
The empty crab leg. What happened to him? So, go on, John. Next day.
All right. Sunday, we headed over to the Magic Kingdom, and this was our first trip where my son's 15, like I was saying, and he's not, you know, totally into absolute, you know, obviously the character interaction and stuff like that when he was a kid. And so we just let him chill out in the hotel room, and me and the wife headed over and to the Magic Kingdom and saw some of the characters and got pictures with the characters and just basically acted like big kids. And
there you go.
And it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. It was the first time since my son was two or three that we got pictures with characters and stuff like that. And what I wanted to mention to you guys was we got there for the Good Morning show, you know, at Magic Kingdom with the characters come in on the train and stuff.
Awesome.
And the fireworks go off, the train comes by, and, you know, there's a crowd reaction when they see Mickey and Minnie, you know, on the train. You can hear the little kids gasp and stuff. But then about halfway down the train is Anna and Elsa. And you should have heard the little girl squeal when they came by. It was amazing. Just that little, you know, that little glimpse of these two girls was incredible for them. So
that is amazing how that movie is. I mean, I've seen it a couple of times, and I love the movie, but I still can't wrap my head around just how popular it is. It's just it's really amazing.
My my really good friend Carol, who's on her way to Disneyland right now, she finally watched the movie, and she texted me that she loved it, couldn't believe how awesome it was. And she's a school teacher, she's in her 50s, and she single, never wasn't like anxious really to see it right away, and she couldn't believe how awesome it was. And she texted me over that her favorite line was when Olaf was telling Elsa that some people are worth melting for. And it's just funny how, like, out of the blue, I'm getting Frozen lingo on my phone. I texted her back, well, you're worth melting for. And she liked that. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's overwhelming. It's going to be the Fab 7 pretty soon, not the Fab 5.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or Fab 8, actually, with Olaf.
Yeah.
You know, everybody loves Olaf. I mean, Olaf's off the charts. If they did a likability in the country right now, I think Olaf would be the most likable person in the country.
Exactly.
So, did you do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train?
We didn't do it that day. We did it later in the week. I couldn't get a fast pass on Sunday for them for that, but we did it later in the week. On Sunday, we did have fast passes for Anna and Elsa. The wife really wanted to get a picture with Anna and Elsa, so we did end up seeing them. With a fast pass, we only waited about 20 minutes, so it wasn't bad at all. And the couple that came in behind us had waited in the standby line for like two hours and 45 minutes or something. You know, so the fast pass was definitely a requirement if you don't want to spend half of your morning waiting for that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I could agree. I mean, especially with kids, because I heard a lot of people were saying that who would get they weren't like excited about the fast passes for them. Like everybody was saying for the characters, blah, blah, blah. But if you imagine if you had two kids waiting in that full line to see them, if you didn't have fast pass.
No, no, no way.
That would be ugly.
So, and how did you like, how did everything go? How was the whole setup with Anna and Elsa? Was everything cool back there?
Yeah,
what's it look like in that area?
It's basically like a kind of an ornamental throne room. You know, not overly done, but pretty nice. We saw them and they were really friendly. Anna's more friendly than Elsa, of course, because she's more the bubbly girl. So, but that plays up to the character, you know, in the movie. They were really nice. And then we also, you know, right after that, you meet Aurora, Sleeping Beauty, and we get pictures with her. We had bought the photo pass, so we had that. So we got all these pictures with them. We also saw Talking Mickey Mouse, and that was really different. I hadn't seen him before. He interacts.
That's wild.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It probably freaked you out to hear him talk to you, because the only time you get to hear him talk to you is during one of the parades or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, he did a card trick with my wife. You know, he had this big deck of cards, and he does a magic trick with the cards and stuff like that, and of course it kind of fails on him and stuff, but that's the whole joke. It's just a little weird to interact with a anime a character, you know what I mean? So
but is it creepy, or does it do they do a good job at it? I mean, I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's not creepy. It's a little different.
It's Mickey, come
yeah,
on, Dad.
Yeah, it's not creepy, but it's definitely different. And the way his mouth moves, it's very realistic looking. So
I'm looking forward. I gotta try to catch him when we're down next trip. Get my picture taken with them. Did you like the Photo Pass Plus or no?
Yeah, yeah, we liked it a lot. We did a lot of characters. Me and my son did a lot of the ride photos, and they.
And did you pre-order for the $149 or did you pay the full $199?
Yeah, we pre-ordered it and got a better price on it. And they'll tell you, you know, when you get it, There were several rides that they automatically loaded up via your Magic Band, and you don't even have to stand in line to get it onto your Magic Band. And I think out of the five rides that we did, four times it did work. It was automatically loaded up. But on the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, it did not load up. And the lady had told me, you don't have to worry about it, you know, don't scan it. And so my tip would be to just double check, you know, to go get it tagged onto your Magic Band just in case, because you never know when they're going to have a little glitch in the software or something. So.
Yeah, because those photo lines aren't that long anyway, really.
No.
Because most people aren't getting it. So take the 5 minutes and double check, especially when you're paying $150 for it.
Exactly, because I really wanted that picture from the Tower of Terror, and I didn't end up getting it. So, but
and there was no way for you to call them and find it?
No, because they had cleared it by the time we got back from our vacation, I guess, and stuff like that. So, but that Sunday we did that, and then we finally did the Enchanted Tales with Belle too. Saw the mirror become the doorway and the whole bit, and that was really cool. And we hadn't done that before.
Yeah, we're looking forward to checking that out. I have never seen that yet. Have you seen that, Dan?
No, I have not.
Well, good. That's our homework next time we go down, then.
Yep.
So. Yeah, even if you don't have any little girls, we don't have any little kids, but it's still a really cool thing to see with the little bit at the beginning with the mirror, and then the animatronic Lumiere is really, really interesting inside. So, and just seeing the little kids and their interaction with Belle is quite interesting too. So,
yeah, I'll just blame it on my wife and my sister-in-law for wanting to see that.
Yeah,
it's their fault. I'll sit there with a puss on my face, acting like I'm upset. I don't want to be here, but I'm the one that drugged them in, just so you guys know. So what else happened on Sunday there, John?
We hit the, Gaston's Tavern and had the pork shank. Either one of you guys tried that yet?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, but I'm going to now.
Yes,
it's quite tasty, isn't it, Dennis?
Oh, it is, out of this world. I had one, and I'm glad I did.
It kind of blows
away
the turkey.
I'm looking forward to going there to try the beer.
The, was it Gaston's Brew or something?
Yeah, the Gaston's Brew, yeah.
Yeah,
just to try it. It don't sound great, but I got to try it.
It was pretty good. It's good. It's not fantastic, but it's good. The pork shank's fantastic, so.
Yeah, the beer is really like a sweet apple juice. That's the way I would describe it. But, it's all right to have a little bit. I don't know if I'd want 16 ounces of it or whatever they serve. But I agree. The shank was well, put it this way, it blows the turkey leg out of the water, in my opinion.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, me and Brenda's definitely going to try that. We'll probably share that. We'll probably, split that. How big is it?
Big. Just like you said, that's what me and the wife shared for lunch. I mean, it's unless you're a behemoth of a guy, it's pretty much shareable.
Oh, yeah, well, me and Brenda like to go to multiple places. Go ahead, Dan, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it absolutely is big enough to share. There's a lot of meat on there, and if you were to get something else with it, a drink and stuff, absolutely, for lunch or even dinner if you were in that area, that would definitely feed two people easily.
Yeah, it's called Lefuse Brew, frozen apple juice with a hint of toasted marshmallow topped with natural passion fruit mango firm. Foam served in a souvenir stein or goblet. So I'll get the souvenir stein to bring home and drink my beer out of, and I can remember Gaston throughout the year. What do you guys think of that?
Well, there you go.
For $20, it's well worth.
No, it's $9.99.
$9.99. Oh, okay.
And I get the drink with it.
Then you get
the drink without it is $5. So what the heck? Right. $5 extra, I get my souvenir for the week.
Then you got to lug that around all day.
I got a backpack. Come on. What do you think? I'm ill-prepared for this stuff?
Yeah, but you already got your resort refillable mug in your backpack.
No, I don't get that. I outgrew that one.
Oh, okay.
I bring 12 packs of Pepsi with me to my room with my new refrigerator, man.
There you go.
What I do is I'm not even dumb. I bring the 16 ounces, and I freeze them in the freezer and put them in my backpack so I can drink it all day. Come on, man. I'm a seasoned veteran here. So you like the pork shank, huh?
Yeah, I like the pork shank. And then me and the wife headed back to the to the boardwalk, and she took the rest of the night off, and I turned around and went back out with my son for the evening. And we stayed long enough to, you know, take advantage of the extra magic hours. And unfortunately, for some reason, it was, you know, right when they were starting the magic band whole thing, where everybody had to have magic bands and stuff like that. And it seemed like it, it didn't have, they weren't escorting the day guests out, to tell you the truth. I mean, there was the regular crowd there until 2 o'clock. It doesn't seem like geez. It doesn't seem like the crowd ever died down. So, but we got several rides in, but we had stayed for extra magic hours one time in January, and there was probably a couple hundred people in the park, so that kind of spoiled us.
Yeah, we did that a couple years ago in February, the same thing, John. And I tell the story of me and my godson. We did Splash Mountain like at least 10 times in a row. We didn't even have to get out of the car.
We did the same thing. We did the same thing on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad there in January. We rode like 9 times. So.
Oh my God, I might have died doing that. at least with Splash Mountain, you got the areas of the how do you do where you're going nice and slow. I mean, holy cow, you guys must have felt like a whipped drink by the time you were off there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So what did you get in on your extra magic hours?
We rode the Haunted Mansion, we rode the Jungle Boat Cruise, Pirates of the Caribbean, and we hit those while the Wishes and the Castle Projection Show were going on. And so the crowd wasn't bad at all. We got those knocked out really quick, and then once that was over, the crowd hit, and we ended up waiting probably. And this whole time, the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is open, but the lines never got less than, I think, 90 minutes, 120 minutes. And we had a fast pass for later in the week for that, so we just kind of figured we'd do it later. And then we rode Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, the People Mover, a couple of other ones, I think, and it was about 12:45. We were both kind of dragging, so we just headed back to the room.
Wiped out.
Yeah.
So you said you did Seven Dwarfs later on in the week. How did you like that?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. We were waiting in line, and they closed it. They were having some of their, you know, little technical issues with it. We were waiting in the fast pass queue, and they closed it. And I told everybody, let's just hold off. Let's hold off. We waited 5 minutes, and they reopened it. We got right on. I know you were talking last week about wanting to wait in the regular queue and see everything, and that's what I want to do next time, is to, even if I have to do it by myself, just wait in the queue and take a look at all the interesting stuff they have set up. But, yeah, me and the wife like the coaster a lot. My son, who's kind of a thrill junkie now, wasn't too thrilled with it because it's not rock and roller coaster. It's not super exciting when it comes to that, but the animatronics in the middle of it with the Seven Dwarfs are really, really cool. And the little scene at the end when with the witch and them dancing and stuff is really neat. So
it's basically what I said, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train meets Big Thunder. I mean, Splash Mountain meets Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, kind of?
Yep. I think that was you about got it perfect. It's closest to Splash Mountain if Splash Mountain was a roller coaster. It's pretty much what it is, you know, without a big
drop. And you've heard my argument that are you the same way with Expedition Everest that I am, that you wish there was more of a show than what there is on that ride?
I would like to, when you're heading up the mountain, it would be interesting if the village was there and stuff like that. And maybe you saw a campsite that had been destroyed by the Yeti, you know?
Yeah, but that's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
A little more story.
Yeah.
Me and Den both were looking forward to Seven Dwarfs Mine, aren't we, Den?
Oh, yeah, that's number one on my list to see. In fact, I made my Fast Pass reservations the other day for the 5 days I'm going to be there. And I booked a fast pass for that all 5 days. I don't even care about anything else. So depending on what I'm doing, I'll be at Epcot most of the long weekend, but I plan on riding it multiple times while I'm there. So I'm looking very much looking forward to that.
Me and Brent are too, Dan. And I said, and I'm glad you brought that up, John, that me and Dan were both talking last week, and you followed up on it, that we think half the rides are the queue, and if everybody does fast pass on everything, they're missing half the fun, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you like, aren't you anxious? You're anxious to see all the stuff that goes on in that queue at the Seven Dwarfs. And from what I could see, there's a lot of things going on as you're going through that queue.
Yeah, I'm willing to do the line, you know, the queue when it's maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. I just didn't want to wait 120 minutes, so I'll do the queue when it goes down a little bit. But yeah, it definitely look forward to seeing the stuff inside the queue. So.
Yeah, and a lot
I think it's,
oh, go ahead, Don.
Go ahead, Don.
No,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, a lot of it has to do, too, with how old your kids are or whether you're traveling with kids, because most kids, no matter how much you tell them, oh, look at this cool relic or look at this cool bone or look at this cool, you know, setup, they don't care. They just want to go ride. And you know, us as, you know, older people, if you will, we can enjoy something like that. Or if you're traveling solo or without kids, it's a whole different perspective. But I could see where, you know, kids, you know, regardless of age, 4, 5, 6, 7, up to 10 or 12, they don't want to hear it about a queue in most instances, I would think.
Well, I'm hoping my two girls are willing to wait. I could see they're not.
Good luck with
my
that.
Wife and my sister-in-law, they're going to be a handful if I make them wait in a 45-minute queue line when we could get fast pass for it. But
right.
I want to see. I want to experience the whole thing. On this thing has been like so long in the making. If you follow me, I want to experience it all. I mean, I'll probably do the fast pass and do a queue. I'm hoping to ride at least two times, if not three, during the week.
That's a good plan.
So where'd you head off to on Monday?
Monday we slept in a little bit after staying out, you know, so late at the Magic Kingdom, and I had fast pass reservations for Animal Kingdom, and the way we vacation, the new fast pass system works great for us, because you can set up the times that you want to go and stuff like that. And if you want to hit the parks early and you want to, you know, ride a bunch of stuff, you can still set up fast pass later in the day and then, you know, hit some of the big headliners early in the morning and then have your fast pass for later in the afternoon. But if you want to sleep in, you don't have to worry about, you know, getting out there and having somebody run and get your fast pass ticket. So you know, we enjoy it a lot. Well, I really like the way it's set up now. Headed over to Animal Kingdom and ate lunch at the Yak and Yeti outside.
Yay.
Well, outside. Not that we've ate there inside several times, but this time we just hit the outside, and it was actually really good too.
Mm-hmm. Their food's awesome there. I've never had a bad meal at the Yak and Yeti.
And this day was June 2nd, and I don't know how, but we ended up with like probably the best weather of the entire summer. You know, I live here, and I'm very accustomed to the weather, and I don't think the high that week was over 89 degrees. And
beautiful.
Yeah, we were – the day we went to Yak and Yeti, it was probably about 84, which is totally bizarre for the first week of June in Central Florida. But we sat outside and ate and had a great time. We rode –
What was your favorite part of the menu? What did you end up getting?
We had the beef lo mein. Actually, what we did was all three of us bought the beef lo mein and the chicken fried rice and two egg rolls. And
good stuff. You were full.
Yeah. We split it among the three of us, and that was more than enough food for all three of us. So we do a lot of that. We do a lot of, you know, one entree or two entrees for all three of us and split it up amongst us because they give you
a ton of food.
Yeah. Too much.
I'll be honest with you. Like, even like at Pecos Bill's, me and the wife can split a cheeseburger. They're so big.
As
I don't like the feeling of being overstuffed, especially because you don't want to move afterwards. Because you hear me all the time on the show with work doing construction. You eat a full size cheesesteak or a hoagie, you might as well just go home and go to bed for the rest of the day.
Yeah, especially in the heat. You know, you eat a full size cheeseburger or something like that, you're going to feel terribly sluggish the rest of the day. So.
And we love to pop at multiple places. This way we get to try more things.
That reminds me of the Ricky Nibbs from the Be Our Guest podcast, her strategy. I don't know if you guys ever heard it, but she used to order a double cheeseburger with an extra bun, and then her and her husband would split it and each have a hamburger.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. That's a good call, Rick. I mean, absolutely.
So we I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Okay. I was just reiterating.
Sorry. We hit Kilimanjaro Safaris. We did Expedition Everest and Dinosaur, and then we saw actually Finding Nemo for the first time. Never seen that before, and The Lion King in the new theater.
How'd you like both of them?
Finding Nemo was good, but The Lion King I absolutely loved. I'd seen Lion King a couple of times before, but just being in the new theater and everything, it felt like it had a whole new energy to it, you know? And
Doesn't the music of that just make you go, I mean, it just inspires you.
It makes you happy.
You up, I mean, it just makes you feel awake and alive, don't it?
Yeah, especially after Finding Nemo, which is kind of, you know, in points is a little depressing and a little slow, and especially as a father of a son who's growing away from me, you know, it hits you a little too poignant, and, you know, it can depress you a little bit, and then to jump from that to The Lion King, which is just all happiness, and, you know, it made you feel good. It was just really enjoyable, so.
Yeah, Lion King is probably one of my favorite soundtracks ever. I love the music from that. The whole show is really inspiring. I love that show. It's one of those shows, because I'm not really much in the theater shows, and I'm sure you two aren't either. But that show isn't one that makes you feel like you're there. I mean, it goes by fast. You don't realize how long you're in there.
Oh yeah, I mean, just right from the beginning when they warm up the crowds and they each give you a section and you're cheering and they're just filling time while the theater fills up. I'm assuming they still do that, John, in the new theater?
Yep. It's basically exactly the same as the other theater. It's just brand new. It's a whole brand new area back there that doesn't look brand new, you know, and Disney
right.
In typical Disney fashion, it looks like it's been there for probably 50 or 60 years, you know, in Africa somewhere. So it's really neat looking.
How's the cooling in there? Is the fans and all the same way it was in the other one, or did they air condition it?
Yeah,
it
it's air conditioned. And
yeah, remember the old one was open air.
Yep.
It had the fans and all back there at Camp Minnie Mickey.
Right.
So this one's even better. You got fresh air conditioning.
Exactly. So,
you know, pull your drink out of your camera bag and you're good to go.
I was going to mention to you, I know you're a big fan of Animal Kingdom, and there's one thing there I was curious if you had ever seen. Have you seen the giant shark catfish?
No, I have not.
Me neither. Never heard of it. Where is it?
All right. When you head over, you're at the Tree of Life and you turn left and you're heading towards Africa.
Mm-hmm.
One of the paths that lead off to your right towards the
along the trail by the Tree of Life.
Right. One of those.
Okay,
that,
I know what you're talking about.
Heads over there. There's a bridge that goes over a little stream, and unless you're looking, you won't even see it. There's like a little pool, and there's a bridge over the top of it, and inside is about probably between 4 and 5 feet long, and he's this giant catfish. And he looks like a shark. He comes out of the water, and his fin goes along almost like exactly like a shark. And it's the neatest thing that, you know, unless you're looking for it, you probably will never find. So.
Well, that's my motto. Slow down, look around, and enjoy your view. I mean, that's why I get so aggravated. Like, and speaking of Ricky Niblets again from the Be Our Guest podcast, when she gets on going where it's a zoo and there's nothing to do there, it's like, really? I mean, I don't get it. There's so much to do there, and it's like because you're in such a hurry when you get there, and because everything isn't standing out saying, look at me," you walk right by it.
Right.
Am I wrong?
No, absolutely right. I was going to ask John, is it anywhere near where the otters are, or am I
Yeah,
wrong?
I think it's to the left of the otters.
Okay, all right.
I think it's to the left. It's on one of the paths. If you're just heading towards Africa and you take I think there's only two or three paths to your right. If you take every one of them, as soon as you step onto it, there's a little bridge, Okay. And you just stop and look to your left, and there'll be a sign that says, I think its name is Shark Fin Catfish or something like that. And if you just wait a second, he'll swim by you underneath.
Yeah, we got to get them T-shirts made up then.
What's that?
Slow down, look around, and enjoy the view.
There you go.
Seriously, like, you heard the show that when Dennis got back and he spent 6 hours there and said he didn't do a ride.
Easy to do there, and either there or Epcot. So.
Yeah, but people think that there's nothing to do there, and it gets such a bad rap. I mean, John, where do you think there's more to do? Epcot? I mean, the Hollywood Studios or at Animal Kingdom?
Personally, I take Animal Kingdom any day of the week. So, absolutely, Animal Kingdom.
I mean, it's a shame, but I don't like to do that, but. That we've talked a million times, the studios need, I'm so happy with the Frozen stuff, so I'm going to take time to pass judgment because I'm looking forward to seeing all that stuff there. And people will say that the rides aren't going in. I don't care if it shows, displays, anything. I don't just go to Disney for the rides. I go for all the entertainment. So anything they add, I'm excited about.
Right.
You know, I can't wait to see an ice skating ring. What about you guys?
It'd be interesting.
Yeah, anything at all they can, you know, anything, even, you know, we've talked before, Avatar Land, again, not everybody's favorite movie. Most people, although many people have seen it, I guess, given the box office receipts, but, mm-hmm. you know, nobody raves about Avatar or Avatar Land, but I'm sure once it's in there and we get some state-of-the-art attractions and stuff, people will flock to it, I'm sure.
So do you like dinosaurs, Kilimanjaro? Did you do anything special on Kilimanjaro? The animals moving for you?
Yeah. Actually, they were out and about. We've been on it quite a few times, and I've got great pictures from so many different trips. And the thing is, every time I go on it, I take more pictures. So I've got ridiculous amounts of pictures, and you can't help it. You know, if you got your camera on, you have to take pictures on that ride. So,
you know, a 4 gigabyte memory card was happiness to me when you see I could take 1,000 photos, and believe me, I take every bit of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, compared to going through the 12 rolls of 35 millimeter film when you're there on a trip, and still having to buy more. You know.
Yeah.
So how was Dinosaurs? You enjoy that?
Dinosaur is the one ride that my son's still kind of afraid of.
Cool. Take him on again, man.
Yeah, that ride is it's a little. You know, it's a little freaky. That animatronic Carnosaurus that's chasing you at the end. We've got a good picture of his eyes closed at the end there.
Now, do you end up doing the same thing? Do you always end up on the side of him?
Just from when he was small, I still always take the outside row. You know, whatever we're riding, I always have the outside. So.
Do you notice that? Because we spoke about that too. Do you notice that your family always tours the same way, where you let the wife and kid in first, and you guys always end up being on the same side of the car?
Yep. Yeah. And I purposely try to, you know, especially since you've been mentioning it, try to bounce around a little bit.
And you notice you see more, don't you?
Yeah, and we did it was our trip last year. I went out to the Magic Kingdom in the morning, and it was pouring rain. And I just went out, and I couldn't get them out of the hotel room. So I went out there by myself, and I rode Pirates of the Caribbean, and I was the only person in the boat.
That's awesome.
It was and I actually – there wasn't anybody in front of me. In a boat in front of me or a boat behind me. So I just sat in the boat and sang the song and bounced around the entire aisle. So it was probably one of the most unique experiences I'll ever have. So.
I'm sure the cast members that are up in the projection booth were laughing there. You know what's off
probably.
Saying, look at this guy.
Yep.
Yep. We've had that a couple times on Pirate because me and the wife, we spoke about it, how we go at the least crowded times of the year. So we've had it where me and her have been in the boat alone before, and it's really cool. It's eerie. There's nobody else around, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It is a little spookier being in there with nobody else, without a lot of people around. Because we've had it where we've walked right through the tunnel, right onto the boat, and took off. And you're like, this is crazy. You know, it's a good time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use that excuse the next. I'm going with my wife and my sister-in-law, and I'll use the excuse of they're changing up the seat so I get to sit in the middle of the two beautiful girls the whole trip. Come on, you got to work the best you can with what you got.
There you go.
So where'd you go to next, John?
Well, we rode Dinosaur. We saw the shows. Headed back to the room, took a break, and then we went over to Downtown Disney to eat dinner for a late dinner. Again, my son's over Downtown Disney, especially now with it so much construction going on there, and the crowd that points where they have you funneling through the construction walls get extremely crowded. So me and
claustrophobic too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So me and the wife headed over there, and we did some shopping and ate at Earl of Sandwich, of course. I don't know, I go back and forth between Earl of Sandwich and Wolfgang Puck's as being my favorite counter service.
Whatever one you eat at that trip is your favorite, right?
Exactly.
But I mean, Earl of Sandwich, you can't beat it for the price at Disney World for something, in my view, for the sandwiches and other offerings they have. I mean, it's probably the cheapest, best food you're going to get anywhere down there.
By far the best value, absolutely.
Yep.
So. Now, did you get the Thanksgiving sandwich or no?
No, I had that. It was a little too warm outside for me to be thinking about Thanksgiving just yet. So I had the Hawaiian barbecue with the chicken and the pineapple and the barbecue sauce, and it was really tasty.
Yeah, I call that the sleeping tryptophan sandwich. That and the Liberty Tree Tavern, man. I can't eat at either one of them. It put you to bed.
Knock you out.
You know, too much for me.
But
so where'd you got? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You'd be proud of my wife. I finally got her to try, I know it's not your cheesesteak, but still, Wolfgang Puck, Earl of Sandwich does a pretty good cheesesteak. And finally got her to try a cheesesteak, and she's head over heels for him now. So I guess we're going to have to get up to Philly one time so she can actually try a real one. So, but
absolutely. But I love the Philly cheesesteaks, but I do without the whiz. I like American cheese on mine. I know a lot of my friends around here like that cheese whiz. I just can't get into that, man. It's like having a great piece of steak, and then you're going to put processed cheese on it? Come on, man. Give me some fresh-cut American cheese melted in there. That's with fried onions. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Something great about that in there.
Yeah, there is, man. There really is. So tell your wife, very good job.
But so that was Monday. Tuesday, me and what we did this time is I switched off a lot. I was pretty much constantly on the go, but I would switch off between the wife and the son. And that way I was able to get my Disney fix, you know, but not kill them. So Tuesday, got up early and headed over to Epcot with my son, and staying at the boardwalk obviously makes it super convenient. And we got over there at about 5 to 9 and waited for the bakery to open there in France, and headed over for breakfast at the French bakery.
And there's nothing better than that morning walk over to the boardwalk, is there?
No.
I mean, over to Epcot. That whole area is beautiful.
Beautiful. I walked through, you know, the UK pavilion and the Canadian pavilion, waiting for them to open, and was able to take pictures with no crowds. So, you know, that's really unique. So
that is nice, because we've gotten a few of the – I like the little tea area with the tea garden and all there, and then also – it's nice to have a couple of the British phone booths without a million people walking
right,
around.
Right,
right. Were you able to get one of those little tables outside of the bakery in France?
Actually, we were the first people in there, and there was only two other people there. So, yeah, we got a table. We had the – I think I just got him a croissant, and then I had the ham cheese croissant, and both of them were really good. So,
nice.
None like a good croissant. I like croissants better than anything. Like, even with the local breakfast sandwiches, the local bakeries and stuff around here, I'll do the croissant any day over the bagel. That's just me. What about you guys? Croissant or bagel?
Bagel for me.
Okay. You, John?
Probably depends on the
bagel
day. I can do either one, but
Or one of each, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So.
Okay, continue.
Let's see, we did, me and him ran over, did test track, designed our cars, you know.
You like the new test track or the old test track better?
Probably the old one. It has a certain nostalgia feel to it, you know, and it was my son's favorite ride for the longest time, being the old one. But the new one is cool. The designing your car and seeing it how it does as compared to other people in the car and stuff is cool. But yeah, there was I like the old one better. So
I agree.
Yeah, the old style loading area I loved. I like going through all the parts and the tools. It was just like home to me. It was like they took a little piece of home away from me when they took all that apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else did you hop on?
We did Spaceship Earth.
Must do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you get through the whole thing without it stopping?
Yeah, made it all the way through. And my son's thing is to, you know, since it's not Jeremy Irons or Walter Cronkite, so I don't care too much. He does a different language every time we go on it. And so we hit German this time. So
nice.
That's pretty crazy. That, speaking of that, me and Dan was just telling me before the show, we have some German listeners.
Yes. We had a couple of downloads from Germany. So hello.
Shout out
to
Germany.
Yeah, exactly. Glad to have you aboard.
So you was it different listening to it in German through the whole thing?
Yeah, it was definitely different, but I pretty much know the whole spiel by heart anyway, so, you know.
Okay.
And
the kids always have to change it up, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm trying to remember. I don't think I did a whole lot else with him. Took him back to the room, traded off, got the wife, turned around and went back out.
Tag teaming him.
Went back out, and I know – take a deep breath, Doug, but my wife actually loves the New York Strip steak in the America Pavilion.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? I know.
Uh-oh.
Poor thing, so, man. Do you not cook normally for her?
I cook steak once a week, but I don't have truffle butter to put on top of it. And they actually have a truffle butter sauce they put on this steak, so.
Yeah, but, well, you have to hide that steak with some other flavor, so the truffle butter probably does it.
I don't know. I mean, I get it for her. She sucks it right up, so okay, you know. Hey. But,
is it always hot, though? See, that's my problem with the Liberty Inn. I get food there, and it's not hot all the time.
Yeah, they actually, because they don't, that one doesn't sell a whole lot, they actually make that one pretty fresh, and it's pretty much right off of the griddle or the grill or however they cook it. And yeah, it's pretty hot and she loves it. So
yeah. Cause the last time we ate there, I got we got hamburgers and she got a hot dog and fries and stuff. And I felt like I got free dining and it was one of my free, my counter services. I felt like I was ripped off. even with the free dining, I wanted my money back.
Well, I don't even eat there. I mean, I'm in Epcot. I'm not going to eat anything that I can make at home. So, I mean, and better at home. You know, a steak or a burger or a hot dog, I can certainly do better at home. So, we usually hit.
I don't know what it is. Our women are drawn to that place. My wife is making me eat there so many times. It's like, why? And I do it because she has power over me. But it just. I don't know what it is. She don't want a hamburger or hot dog ever at home. We walk by Liberty Inn and she wants a hamburger or hot dog. I don't get it. It's not even that good. It's cold. But I'm glad you don't eat there, John. At least you got a head on your shoulders there, kid.
No.
Tell her I love her if we listen to this show, and thank you for being a great listener. So I'm sorry to pick on her.
well, on our good side, we head over to Tangerine Cafe, and that's usually where we eat at. They're in Morocco, and we share one of the sampler platters there. And I like Sunshine Seasons, but man, for counter service in the World Showcase, the Tangerine Cafe is fantastic.
Yeah, and you got that palate. Like, some people don't like that food, but if you do, it's good stuff. It's always fresh.
Oh, absolutely. And again, it's, you know, one platter is more than enough to share between two people, so.
Yeah, well, again, that's one of the things we'll do. We're going to do, and then Dennis loves Spice Road Table now.
Yeah, I mean, if you get a chance, Doug, like I said, check that out. It's, you know, you're not going to get as much food as you will at the Tangerine Cafe because it's small plates. But, I mean, you know, you can get the chicken kebabs, the lamb kebabs, sorry, Doug, you know, beef kebabs and rice and all that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's an excellent value, probably, you know, one of the best values around the World Showcase. But, again, some people, just the name of it and where it's located, just won't even give it a shot, and they're missing out. They really are.
I'm starting to hear a trend here. Sorry, Doug. Sorry, Doug. Sorry, Doug.
Well,
am I really that bad? I'll have to eat a lamb slider to get myself off the hook.
There's not even a Disney movie with a lamb in there, is there? I mean, come on.
Yeah. There's just something about baby lambs, man, and veal. I can't eat veal either. I don't know what it is. I'm sad. I know.
Yeah,
sad, but true.
We hit Spice Road Table that day too. We didn't. We usually eat at Tangerine Cafe, but this time we did. We were heading there, and there was nobody inside Spice Road Table, so we just decided to give it a shot. And we went in there, and I've got the name of it here. If you want to hear what was on it and stuff like that we shared.
Yes.
Go ahead. Feel free. We eat food. More food, the better.
All right. It was called the Tingus Sampler. I think it,
okay.
And it had a lamb slider, a harissa chicken roll, and a Marquez sausage. And I paired that with a beer from Southern Europe somewhere. I can't remember the name of the beer now, but it was really good. All three of the items were fantastic. And unfortunately, it was probably 1:45, and there was only one other table inside there. There was nobody sitting inside and only us and another table sitting outside. And I have a feeling that if, you know, this doesn't start to build a crowd, they're going to end up changing it up.
Well,
yeah, because the location is so prime.
Right,
yeah.
And we mentioned a couple of shows back. I believe they're offering a 30% discount for annual pass holders all summer long to eat there. So that in itself tells you they're kind of desperate to get guests in there.
I'll have to get you to set a table up for me, Dan, and prepay for it, and I'll send you the money back for 30% off. It's worth the stamp to send you a gift card.
Yeah, but I have a strange feeling, like John's saying. I think that might be on its last legs, and if they don't pick it up business-wise, I mean, they're going to retheme it or do something else, I would only imagine, because it's a beautiful location, but they're just not getting the guests through the door.
Yeah, it's right on the water. You can watch Illuminations there.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So, I mean, you would think that because right now, as soon as we're done on the phone here, I'm calling Rose and Crown and trying to get like an 8:30 ADR for there to watch, so we can watch Illuminations on the outside balcony, on the porch. But I could probably just walk right on the back deck. I mean, I could probably go to Spice Road Table and just walk in and sit down and eat.
Yeah, I have a feeling you could.
What you're telling me.
Yep.
That's a shame. And how crowded is the New Mexican Pavilion? I would think that's pretty crowded during Illuminations, too. Either of you's eaten there yet?
The New Mexico restaurant? No, we haven't tried it yet.
The one that's out on the water.
Yeah,
I mean, it's about 5 years old now, but I mean, have you eaten a Hacienda over there yet or no?
No, I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, I have not. I mean, Mexican food isn't my top of my list as far as what we enjoy, so we don't tend to eat there very often. We got takeout there one night and heading back to the room, but we haven't spent a lot of time in that pavilion. But I can imagine if you had a table out there on the water, it would be primo viewing for Illuminations, no doubt.
Yeah, because we thought about, like, it's one of the things we were thinking about. I love Rose and Crown, and everybody knows it, and it's like my standby now. Le Cellier is still my favorite because it has nostalgia, but for the money, it's Rose and Crown. And we're between La Hacienda and Rose and Crown to try to get Illuminations dinner this trip. Just to chill, have a couple drinks, and just stay there during the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's always stressful to try to just time that ADR perfectly so that you know, you want to be able to enjoy your dinner and finish it and not be able, you know, not lingering around too much longer, because it's always, you know, if you can time it just right so that you have your dessert, maybe a coffee, and you're 15 minutes away from Illuminations, that's pretty much perfect. But we've all seen the guests that, you know, finish up eating at, 8 o'clock, and then they're milking it for another hour. That can be aggravating, especially if you're waiting for a table.
No, that's what, yeah, because they stop serving, I think, at 9. So that's what we're looking to get after. Yeah, because Illuminations goes off at 9.
Correct.
So that's when the restaurant's all closed. So I'm looking maybe trying to get like an 8:15 ADR. So right as we're done eating, the three of us, it should go, the show should start. It'd be nice to be sitting out at the table and watching Illuminations go off, you know?
Yep, that'd be perfect.
There you go.
So what did you do next, John?
Well, you know, something unique we saw that day, and just to go is to show you that you'll never see believe what you see, or you never know what you'll see at Disney. We saw a couple of real Tibetan monks, you know, the guys from Tibet with the robes on and the whole deal. And I'd seen him earlier, and my son wanted to get a picture with him, but he was afraid to go talk to him. And me and my wife saw him later, and she looked at him and she said, "Johnny's got a freaking iPad." So he did. He had an iPad. So I went up and talked to him, and he was a really nice guy, and he actually took pictures with both of us. So I have a picture in the Japan Pavilion with a real Tibetan monk, which I thought was really cool. So
that's pretty cool. You should email that over to us. We'll put it on our page for you.
All right, I'll send it over.
We'll get Dan to put it up for a week.
You don't get that every day.
Well, when we put up this week's show, I'll have him put the Tibetan monk up there with you, and this, people can see your picture with him and know who's what guest was on our show this
week. There you go. I'll get it off right after we're done here then.
There you go.
We the rest of that day, we just toured around. There's nothing more in the world than I like walking around World Showcase with a cold beer in my hand from one of the countries and just going into different stores, meeting, talking to the cast members, and just really enjoying ourselves. So we did that pretty much the rest of the evening. I think we walked around twice and then watched Illuminations.
That's awesome. Now, do you time it so your beer runs out right as you get to the next pavilion, the next country, or do you at least get through a couple before you get to the next one?
Usually by every other country.
There you go.
it depends which one's coming up. You know, the Guinness and the Bass, they don't last too long. So, but
yeah, see, I need to stick with I'm more the Canadian Molson and the frozen margarita kind of guy.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that either. So,
I like the lighter beer, the Canadian Molson, the Coors Light, the regular Budweiser. I don't get much into the ales. If you have the other, like the thicker beers, if you follow me, the darker beers, I can't drink them.
If it's considered a beer, I like it. So, the Food and Wine Festival is my favorite, and especially as the last couple of years, they've got the Brewers Collection and the other hops and barley brewing tent, and just the totally unique beers that we can find there now is fantastic. So,
did you?
Now, I'm not a fuddy dud. I try them. Go ahead.
No,
Dan,
I was just going to ask John if he had the what was that beer they had at the I think it was the hops and barley. Was it a jalapeno beer or something like that? Did you try that?
No, I like the flavors, and especially the European beers and stuff like that in the microbrews, but once they put too funky a stuff in there, I'm not too big on that. So
you don't want like blueberries in your beer and
stuff like that?
Oh, nothing wrong with that. I mean, as you know, they have some real exotic beers now that some of them are pretty nasty, but some of them are pretty good. And the jalapeno beer that they offered at the Hops and Barley, it wasn't for Food and Wine, it was for Flower and Garden. It was pretty good. It surprised me. Not that I could have two or three of them, but, you know, just enough to change it up a bit, I guess.
Imagine or as our good buddy Mr. Sicken calls it, Food and Garden.
Food and Garden, right.
Or Sycon, but I like to call him Sicken. But anyway, no, and I'm not a fuddy-dud. I'll try all the different beers. There's just, I can't acquire a taste for some of them. You know what I mean? It's just certain taste. Like, I don't like wine. I can't drink wine either.
Well, that's why, not to turn this into a beer
podcast.
Yeah, exactly. No, but that's why the samplers, in my view, are good, especially if you have a couple of people, two, three, or even better. You can just ask for extra glasses, and you can sample different beers without, you know, shelling out $8-$10 or whatever it is for a full 12 or 16 ounce beer. I mean, you can really see what you like and what you don't like, and then make a larger purchase, if you will, for a full 12 ounce beer. So it's a good way to sample things that you normally wouldn't.
Yeah, I love
absolutely.
I love the beer flights, both at the Food and Wine Festival and then at the several different restaurants that you can find them now. They're always always good to try and then to, you know, find one that you particularly like. So.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you finish off the trip at? What park were you at the last day you were down there?
We went to Magic Kingdom and then back over to Epcot for the evening.
And anything stand out that last night besides crying because you have to leave?
Well, we ate at Germany's Beer Garden, and that's always a good time. And then, like I said, I got the beer flight there and tried four of the different pretty strong, pretty tasty German beers. And me and the wife hit that quite often, and we consider it a success if we can outlast the other people at the table. And sit there by, you know, and then everybody else is gone, and you can sit there and enjoy the show and maybe go up and get one more piece of apple strudel or so.
It's a good time there. I like the Germany Pavilion. My wife's not a big fan. She don't like once she's seen the venison up there, kind of, she's, you know, Bambi turned her off a little bit, if you follow me. And that's the weird thing with me. I do like venison. And I do like the offerings, but all the offerings aren't, like, her favorite things, if you follow me. So she's more of a fish, you know, she likes more fish and vegetables, stuff like that. And the German Pavilion, face it, is a meat lover's paradise. Oh,
absolutely. Sausage and schnitzel and...
venison, you name it, yep. It's there. I mean, if you love beef, that if you're walking around Epcot and they ask where the beef is, everybody points right to the German Pavilion. So was there any other standout restaurants or anywhere you ate during your trip?
We hit the Spice Road Table, Cape May, and Beer Garden. I think that was it for sit-downs and the pork shank. You know, that was
highlight.
Always good.
I can see him now. Everybody else is going to the rides. John's going to head right back for the pork shank the next time he's at the Magic Kingdom.
It was good. It was really good. So but.
That's awesome. So I'm glad you had a great time, John. I tried to skip around. We've been an hour and 20 minutes at the stools. I think we're all flagged by now. We've been through multiple beer flights ourselves. So is there anything else you want to put out there, John? Or you everything else? Did we cover everything for you?
Yeah, I think we hit the... definitely the highlights, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
We appreciate you coming on.
Yes, we appreciate you being a listener, and we enjoyed hearing all about your trip.
So, and we were very happy, and I finally got that T-shirt down. You know, it took a long enough, didn't it, John?
Yeah, well, it, nah.
Yeah, with everything going on with the Switch, I finally got a real my buddy now. He takes care of me, so... my buddy Dennis, we're both as crazy about it. We both are happy to put the time in on it. And I'm sorry it took so long for you to get it, but you finally got it, right?
I got it, and I'm sure I wore it. I'll have to look through my pictures, but I'm sure I wore it at least one of the days that we were at Disney the last time. So.
Well, if there's any evidence, you could send that picture over too.
You got it.
We'd like the evidence. But we enjoyed having you on, and a few – Dennis is going back down for food and wine. Our buddy Bob's going to be down for food and wine. And you said you're headed over there again?
Yeah, we're going to be – right now we've got the – we're staying at Saratoga Springs the 19th through the 22nd of October. But, you know, Dennis I'm sure knows about this. We're on the waiting list for Boardwalk because I sure would rather walk to Epcot than to take a bus. But
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's funny when you started out at the beginning of the podcast, I do exactly what you do. I always book it 11 months out and then try to change. But, you know, we've been at Saratoga so many years now. You know, we don't mind staying there, but we try to get into other places whenever possible.
Yeah, just don't let anybody from any other resorts on the bus with Dennis.
That's right, off of my bus.
There could be carnage, man. I mean, there could be serious issues. So if you're on the bus with Dennis and you see, God forbid, somebody hop on from Swan and Dolphin by mistake, look out, man. You don't want to see that. It ain't going to be pretty. But, no, maybe after we're, you know, because Food and Wine will be – we'll probably do a few shows on that. Last year we did, and maybe we'll get you on again to do a little trip report and tell us what your favorite things were from Food and Wine this year.
That'd be great, and I'm really looking forward to hearing Dennis and the guy from that you had on last two
Bob.
Shows ago.
Yeah, that was Bob from All
Bob,
In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to what those two guys have to say about Food and Wine, so maybe we can hit the highlights. So.
There you
yep.
go.
Our buddy from All In WDW, all in Walt Disney World. Great little site he has there. I love doing his do you ever get on there and do his little surveys, John?
I'm going to check it out. I tell you the truth, I never heard of his site before you guys had him on, so I'm going to – I got plans to go surfing tonight, and I'll catch up on it tonight. So
check it out. If you go on our Twitter account, Dennis and me retweet his site all the time. It would be easier for you. You can go right through there and get the link.
Okay.
Or hop on our website if you click it. The link goes right from our site, too. So – all right, John, it's been great. Thanks for getting on with us, and we're looking forward to talking to you again soon, and thanks again for listening to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys putting all the effort and time into doing a show to keep us entertained. So,
thanks, buddy. I'm glad you think we're entertaining, right, Dan?
Hey, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And that'll be it, guys. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, David's Vacation Club Rentals, American Tourist Travel, and Scooter Vacations, and hop on our website. And don't forget, we're WDW Main Street. We streamlined it for you. All right, guys, talk to you next week. Last call. I guess I'll buy this week.
You're all right, Doug.
All right, talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.